I'm Robin. Welcome to Eastlake. I'm the pastor, and our topic is fear today. And look in your notes, because fear is something that we can develop. It can damage our faith, or it can develop our faith. It's the big idea. Fear can damage or develop your faith. And today we're going to take a look at a story in the Bible about Jesus, and it's about some people that were with him, and it's how they looked at their fears, and it's what fear caused in their life. And so grab your notes, we'll read it together, and it'll come up on the screens here for us. When evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." They left the crowd behind, and they took him along in a boat just as he was. There was also other boats with him. A wild storm came up. Waves crashed over the boat. It was about to sink. Jesus was in the back, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him, and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up and ordered the wind to stop. He said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Don't you have any faith at all yet?" They were terrified. They asked each other, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves, they obey him. And let me give you some context. Jesus has just come from another difficult conversation with his family. And his family has some fears. They're afraid some bad things are going to happen to Jesus. He's about a year into his ministry, and large crowds are following him. He's saying very controversial things, and he's doing the miracles, and the church has kind of rose up, and they're not happy with him. And Israel is an occupied state. It's ruled by Rome, and Rome is not happy with him, so the government's kind of after him, the church is after him, and his family is afraid. So they start to say things to him, and they want him to stop doing what he's doing, and it's difficult when families have to process fear together. Maybe in your family, someone has said something to you and it hurt you or discouraged you, and it never really seemed like they said it because maybe they were afraid. They're watching your life, and they're scared for you, or they're struggling with some fears in their own life, because families process fear. And they come to Jesus, and they want him to stop his ministry, and it'd be nice if in our families we didn't threaten each other, and we didn't pull power plays, and we didn't have guilt trips, but those are all the things that fear causes in our families, and Jesus is in all of that type of a thing. So he tries to back up and get a break. He's going to take a time out, and he's going to go on a boat ride. And as he goes on this boat ride, the plot shifts, and now it's become about his friends and his disciples and some of the fears that they're going through and what fear causes them to think. A couple things we're going to look at them today. Write in your notes. The first thing is, "I can't handle this." They're really super scared, and this is an odd little lake that they're on. It's 600 feet below sea level. There's mountains all around, and these storms come swooping down, and all of a sudden they can't handle it. A storm comes into their life, and they're scared now because they can't handle it. And here's the amazing thing. A lot of these guys are professional fishermen, so they've been in boats lots of times. And isn't it scary when you face something in life and you thought you'd be able to handle it and you can't? You know, before you get married, "Oh, I'll be a great husband." And then you get married and you go, "I don't know if I can handle this." Or now, you know, you're so excited. Here come the kids. We're going to have kids. And then they become toddlers and you're like, "I know I can't handle this." Or you buy something, you look at it, and you go, "This is a payment we can handle, honey. We can handle this." And then things get tight and you're like, "I don't know if I can handle this payment. We might lose this." I mean, they go out on the lake, and I mean, they're experienced, and they have lots of skill, and they run into something that is too big for their skill, and it's too big for their experience, and now they're afraid, and that's a difficult time in life. "I thought I could handle this. I thought I could handle. I had the skills. I had the experience, but I can't." I was reading an interview of this guy that played in the NFL. His name was Tony Mandrich, and he was the only, of all the people that have ever been drafted in the NFL, if you're a fan here, he was an offensive lineman, and he was taken number 2 in the first round, the highest ever. He was the second pick in the top 5, first round. The other 5 guys that were picked, the top 5, they're all in the Hall of Fame now, but not Tony. They said he was the greatest offensive line prospect coming out of college that there had ever been. But now they say he might have been one of the great busts in NFL history. In this interview, he said, here's when it happened. He said, "All through college, my job, offensive lineman, was to block the other guy and never let him get to the quarterback." He went through 4 years of college, and the quarterback was never sacked one time by the guy that he blocked, never gave up a sack. And he gets into the NFL and he thinks, I can handle this. He's 6'6", 280. He gets into the NFL. He's like, I can handle this. Gets into his first exhibition game. First time the ball is snapped, quarterback goes back to pass. His guy goes right around him and sacks the quarterback. And he said he just stood there, and all of a sudden he said to himself, I don't know if I can handle this. Happens in marriages, happens with your parents, happens at your job. It's like, I thought I could handle this. I was just so sure I could handle this, but I don't know if I can handle this. So I wanted to ask the question, is there anything, maybe you've taken a risk recently and you've stepped out and all of a sudden you're thinking now, are we going to be able to handle this? Am I going to be able to handle this? And that's where these guys are. It scares you. And it seems like they wait till the last minute to turn to Jesus. I don't know why they didn't wake him up. And I don't know if you're going through anything in your life right now and it's pretty big and it seems like Jesus is snoozing, sleeping. Do you care, Lord? Are you aware of what's going on in my life? Hello? And they don't even make a move toward him. They wait till the very last second. And I know this about myself, and I don't think this is just men, so when I say this, if you're a girl, just go, that's so much like a man. Mm-hmm. Don't do that, because that's, just don't put your hand on your hip. That's so much like, just don't. Because here's what happens to me. When I think I should be able to handle something, that's when it's the most difficult for me to ask for help. Even with God. Or when I thought I'd be able to handle something and now I can't handle it, that's when it's the most difficult for me to ask for help. It's like, I thought I had this thing, man. I thought I was going to be able to handle this and now I can't handle it. And I just want to sort of get it settled. I don't want to ask anybody. It's like, I just want to get the bill paid off, or I just want to like sort of get the mistake solved and nobody see it. You know, I just want to get it handled and have it kind of go under the radar so everybody will go, that guy right there, he can handle his business. I don't want anybody to know I can't handle stuff, especially when I thought I'd be able to handle it in the first place. Look at him, he bit off more than he can chew. Nobody likes that. Girls too. And you know, I don't know why they don't turn to me. Maybe they're thinking Jesus, like maybe that's the way they approach God. God likes me best when I'm low maintenance. God likes me best when I don't have problems. God likes me best when my life looks just perfect. I come to church, I smile to everybody. Hi, brother, elder, sister, whoever, sissy, but why? Go home. I look good today. God likes me. Maybe that's what they thought. Maybe here's what they thought. You can turn to God when you have all your stuff together. You got to clean up your life. You got to get your act together. Then you can turn to God. So if you have anything going on in your life and you've been wondering, can I turn to God about this? You're like, well, as soon as I get this solved, then I'll start praying. Or maybe they thought they didn't deserve it. Maybe Jesus said, hey, I need a break from my family. Can you guys know how to take care of boats and everything? Could you take me out on a boat ride and just give me a break? And the storm comes up, and their job is to provide the boat ride, and all of a sudden they screw the whole thing up. The boat's about to go over, and they're not waking him up. Guess, don't wake him up. This was our job. And then you know, we screwed the whole thing up. It's when I think, because of the way I've lived my life, I don't deserve God's help. I went through a divorce. I lost my kids to her, and she lives over there now. I went bankrupt. I had sex zillions of times before I got married. I got into drugs. I got fired. Whatever. I did lots of bad stuff, bad me. And so I don't deserve God's help. So I don't turn to him. This is my life right here. I'll give you open up, let you see a snapshot. I do this on a weekly basis. So Monday comes and I don't have such a great Monday. And then Tuesday comes, and I don't really do very good on Tuesday. I get cranky at somebody at work. I get pissy with somebody, and I have a bad Tuesday. Then Wednesday comes. I really suck on Wednesday. I'm, like, totally bad on Wednesday. And then Thursday comes, and I need to turn to God because it's a big, big problem. And I go, I can't turn to God. Based on the kind of week that I had, I don't deserve God to do anything for me. So maybe it was one of those things. I want to ask the question, when do you feel like God wants you to turn to him? Or when do you feel most confident Now's the chance to go tell Jesus I need his help. And they hesitate and they wait. And they don't turn to him at all. And the problem with that, and this is how it affects my faith. We're talking about what like damages my faith. When I create distance between me and Jesus because I feel like I got to get my life cleaned up or I don't deserve his help. I create distance with Jesus. Jot in your notes somewhere, just on the notes system. We put our faith in someone. So if I never turn to Jesus, I never give him a chance to prove to me that he's worthy of my trust. If I don't turn to Jesus in the storm and let him do something for me, it never gives him an opportunity to show me, oh, I love you anyways. I accept you anyways. I care about you. I care about you on your good days and your bad days. If I don't turn to him, he never gets the chance to prove that he loves me, cares about me. Do you know when we develop our faith in the storm? Because when Jesus comes through in the storm, boy, it goes deep. When you know, like, I don't deserve this. I haven't been great. And then Jesus comes through anyways, that goes deep. You still make the sale. Your wife still forgives you. The kids still have a good day at school. And you're like, whoa, on a week that I sucked, you came through. That goes deep. We develop our faith in the middle of the storm when we're willing to turn to Jesus and he proves to us. God would like to develop a track record with you if you'll let him. He's willing to earn it. Right in the middle of the storm of your life when you're afraid and all kinds of things are like flying apart, if you'll turn to him, he will develop a track record that'll be undeniable to your own soul. You'll like, gosh, every time I turn to him, he comes through. And that'll build my faith. Because we have our faith in someone. And when we turn to him, he builds it. Now, the next one I want you to write in, this is something that we all do. I do it, you do it, we all do it. Write your notes, the next one. I know this is going to turn out bad. I mean, you're afraid about something, and you rush into the future, and it's like, you know, you already decide how bad it's going to turn out. It's not that the future's here yet, hasn't occurred yet, but you're just in your mind, you go, I know how this is going to turn out. This is going to turn out bad. They're going to come and repossess my car and be walking. I'm take the stinking bus. You know, this is just, I can see where this, how many times have you said, I know where this is going, and how come it's never positive? I know where this is going. They're going to come and ask me to be the president of the company. That never happens. It's like, I know where this is going, and it's always negative. You know, when we write the end of the story, it's always negative. It's like, I know where this is going, and that's what they do. I know where this is going. We're going to drown. It's just like, and this is how I die. In the middle of the lake, while Jesus is sleeping, I drowned. Is what's going on in your life right now, and you're writing the end of the story before it arrives. And here's the amazing thing. I don't even like the way that I make the movie end in my life. It's like they don't want to drown. It's like I look ahead, and I write a story. I write an ending to the story that I don't even like. But I still do it because the power of fear. And of course, in this story, they write the ending of the story, and guess who gets blamed for the unhappy ending? It's like, God, if you cared about me, Jesus, if you cared, I wouldn't be going through this, Jesus. I mean, it wasn't going to end up, I mean, it's like, I think it's going to turn out bad, and then I blame him for the thoughts that I have that haven't even happened yet. That'll damage your faith. Because can we just be honest enough to admit something? Nobody wants to turn to a God that we think doesn't like us. And do you notice in the story that Jesus doesn't scold anyone? He's like, hey, man, I'm trying to catch a nap here. It's like, back off, handle it yourself. Do you notice before he even asks him a question, he calms the storm? I know lots of people that won't even set foot in a church. They won't even approach God because they're afraid they're going to get a religious scolding or some type of scolding. Where have you been lately? Oh, call on me now after you're in trouble. That doesn't happen in this story. They finally wake him up, and are you hesitating? What's going on in your life and you're hesitating? You got your own stuff. We're all going through our stuff. We're all healing from something broken. And you're hesitating. You haven't approached Jesus yet, and you have your reasons. And you're sort of writing the end of the story, and you don't even like how the story's going to end. You're kind of writing the end of it. And as you write the end of it, it's a story you don't like how it ends. And you're hesitating approaching him because you really don't think that you'll discover a God that cares. And that'll damage your faith. But it's also during those times that you can develop your faith. During the times it seems so bad or you think it's going to turn out so bad, you can develop your faith if you do turn to him. And check out this video.
I'm a mom and a wife. I was very busy doing everything. I woke up with a headache on the right side of my head, which was very abnormal, and I still went through my day just thinking that I would just get over it, and I had another Starbucks, thinking maybe caffeine would help because I'm a mom and I'm too busy to be sick. The headache kept getting worse, and it kept intensifying, so I finally went and saw someone, and he said, "I think you're having a stroke," and I told him I thought he was crazy. I sat there and argued with the doctor. The pain in my head, in the right side of my head, became excruciating, and I fell to my left side, and I lost all coordination and function in my left side. At that moment is when the fear set in of, like, will I ever walk again? The second stroke was far more significant for my family and I than the first one. It became real, and there was tremendous fear. I was still recovering from my second stroke. 14 weeks later, I have my third stroke. The fourth stroke came 5 months after my third stroke. And then that fifth stroke came 5 months after the fourth. I had like my temper tantrum with God, and gloves were off. I was mad. God, why me? Why me? Why my family? Why am I going through this? Why are you allowing this to happen? The tears of frustration and anger. God got it. I needed to just let go. I laid it at his feet and I said, "Here you go. I can't do this. And I don't understand why I have to go through this, but I know I can't do it alone." When I'm having specialist after specialist come in and tell me they have no idea what's causing my strokes, that created fear because it's an unknown. And then we got this gift to go to the Mayo Clinic, and we got an answer. They started me on medicine, and so far so good. We just celebrated my 1 year anniversary for my fifth stroke. And it's really nice to be able to say that I've gone over a year without a stroke. There's always fear. And I just decide I'm just going to face fear head on. I'm going to let God take control and just, I'm not going to dwell in fear. Because there's so much more to life to enjoy when you're not living in fear.
Here's the bottom line. When I know Jesus cares about me, faith replaces fear. That's the key. We put our faith in someone. I can turn to someone when I know they care about me. And I do say, I don't know why I'm going through this. I can't handle this. And I do say, I think this is going to turn out terrible. But I know I can't go through it alone. And I'm going to turn to you because I know you care about me. However, whatever and however, I'm going to be with you because you care about me. And if you're facing something in your life, it's like a storm. It may be on the inside or the outside, and there's a lot of fear there. And yet you're hesitating. You know, maybe you think you should be able to handle it by yourself. Or maybe, you know, you've already written the ending and you just kind of resigned yourself. You're mad at God now and you're just kind of waiting for it to get over. He brought you here for a reason today. He brought you here to say, but I care about you. You can have faith in me. I'm bigger than the storm. There's no scolding coming for you. I'm not going to read off all your wrongs and mistakes. I'm going to quiet the storm. And some of you did come today, and you have a storm on the inside. It's raging away. And you know, in the story, all Jesus did was speak a word. He just said, be quiet and calm down. Shh. And he could speak a word to you today. Just a word could calm everything on the inside. There's a man, his name was Arthur Miller, and he was an author and a writer in the 1950s, but he's most famous for being the husband of Marilyn Monroe, the last husband of Marilyn Monroe. And Marilyn Monroe, gosh, if you read her background and her life growing up, it's just a heartbreaker. And she, I don't know if there's a more famous face in the history of people, Marilyn Monroe. She had everything. But on the inside, there was just this huge storm of insecurity that was always raging in her life, never, ever able to quiet it. And she's married to Arthur Miller, and there's all kinds of things going on. I mean, it's easy to bash her, but it's easy to bash anybody. And she's struggling. I mean, she doesn't know how to turn to God, and she doesn't know how to deal with anything, and she's got all kinds of problems. And just to get through her day, it's taking handfuls of pills and to go to sleep, same thing. And one night, they're in a hotel room. They're married now. And they wake up in the morning, and he got up early in the morning, and she was still in bed. And he went over, and he was just looking at her, and gosh, his heart went out to his wife. And he grabbed a pen, and this is what he wrote, and I want you to see it. He wrote this: I find myself straining to imagine the miraculous. What if she, Marilyn, was to wake up and I was able to say, God loves you, darling. And what if she was able to believe it? How I wish I still had my faith and she hers. And today, Jesus brought you here to say his arms are wide open to you. He can quiet the storm. And there's a couple of more parts of the Bible in the very bottom of your notes. And the first one says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he'll lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And then the next one, the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus doesn't expect you to go alone. And he'll speak a word to quiet the storm.